1 Samuel chapter number 18 tonight, and I'm thankful that, I was thinking about that verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And aren't you thankful for that? That mercy, man, it chases us now. His goodness chases us now. His forgiveness. I'm thankful for His forgiveness tonight. We all, man, that song should have struck a chord in our hearts tonight. Our loving Father forgives us over and over again, and I'm so thankful for that. We're going to continue in 1 Samuel chapter number 18 as we work through this. Last week we saw the friendship and the relationship between Jonathan and David. Tonight we're going to be looking at an interaction between Saul and David, and preach a message entitled tonight, What Jealousy Does. Look at 1 Samuel chapter number 18, verse number 6. 1 Samuel 18, verse number 6. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the city of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets and with joy and with instruments of music. The women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. What can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hands as the other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid, and David, because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Let us pray tonight. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that Your mercy, Lord, it does follow us. Lord, we thank You that Your love and Your grace, Lord, Lord, gives us chance after chance. Lord, Your forgiveness, Lord, I thank You for that. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, as we teach through this text, as we preach Your Word, God, I pray that You'd help us, Lord. I pray that You would allow Your Word to speak to us. I pray that, Lord, You would deal with us, Lord, concerning this text, and You would help us. Lord, I thank You for our church. I thank You that we can gather together tonight. Lord, I love Sunday night church, and I thank You for it. Lord, I pray that You'd bless each person tonight. I pray that we would learn. I pray that we'd be encouraged. I pray that we would grow closer to You. Lord, bless everything that's said and done in the remainder of this service. In Your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Look at verse number 6 if you have your Bibles. It says, "And it came to pass that they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines." So you remember the story, you remember what had just happened. David had beat that Philistine Goliath. He had really done something. God used a boy to do a man's job, if you will, or a young man. And when most of Israel was cowering, David had a burden. Remember, he said, is there not a cause? He was ready to go. He was ready to fight. He was ready to go into battle. He had just won that great battle. And look what ends up happening. He has come back. We saw in our last text, Jonathan and his heart were knit. God knit their hearts together. Jonathan, being a great friend, ends up giving him his robe and even says, hey, you're the next king. You know, he forfeited his position, his possessions. He was a blessing to David. And now David's here returning, and he had just slaughtered that Philistine. And notice what happens in middle verse number 6. That the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets and with joy and with instruments of music. I mean, so here you have this celebration going on. They just won this great battle. The ladies are all coming out of the houses. It's a celebration time. They're singing and they're dancing. So we understand they weren't Baptists. Somebody help me. They're singing and they're dancing. And they're celebrating this celebration. Look at verse number 7. They're singing these songs of celebration. The women answered one another as they played and said, so picture the scene. Man, they're hollering it out. They're having a good time. And look what they say. Saul has slain his thousands. Hey, that's a good thing. They're celebrating Saul. But then they're also celebrating David. And look what they say. And David has slain his 10,000s. Man, David is becoming more popular by the minute due to the victory that he had just seen. Man, he's even really here being more celebrated than King Saul is in a way. Both being celebrated, but David being more celebrated. Look at verse number 8. And Saul was very wroth. That simply means he was mad. And then the saying displeased him. He didn't like the fact that they were saying that David had killed more and slain more and was a greater victor, a greater warrior than he was. The saying displeased him. And he said, man, he even says it here, they have ascribed unto David 10,000. And to me, they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more than the kingdom? What he was saying here in verse number 8, as he's ticked off, as he's jealous, as it's bothering him, the fact that David is being celebrated more than he is. It says he was wroth, he was angry about it. For Saul, who had seen some victories, thousands, but David, he was jealous because they said David had seen tens of thousands. This bothered Saul to his core, to the point of where he even says, man, what else could David even get here? Besides my kingdom. What else could David even get besides my throne? Look at verse number 9. And Saul, and the wording here is interesting, eyed David from that day forward. His jealous eye was on David from that day forward. He watched David like a hawk from that day forward. Jealousy and that pride that we've seen so often in Paul's life is stirring up inside of him. Look at verse number 10. Now it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hands as he had other times, and that's referring back to, we're going to look at it a second, and there was a javelin or a spear in Saul's hands. This jealousy towards David haunted Saul from this day forward. This evil spirit came upon Saul, a harmful spirit or a distressing spirit. We saw this happen back in chapter number 16, verse number 14. It says this, but the spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit had come upon him and troubled him. It's interesting that this is the second time this has happened. And then it says here that David, or that Saul prophesied in the midst of his house. Now, this wasn't necessarily, most believe, this wasn't necessarily a prophecy like we would think of it. It was more of a babbling of a mad man, that anger, that jealousy flowing out of him. Let me just say this, by the way, as we get into this, jealousy and bitterness grieves the heart of God. That's what was happening in Saul's life here. Listen, back in chapter number 16, what had happened was when that evil spirit came upon him, Saul called for David, and David came with his harp and began to play and began to worship, if you remember in chapter number 16, and it ended up soothing Saul's spirit. The hand that held up the head of Goliath here in this text now is playing it once again. He's playing this song. He's trying to soothe the spirit of Saul. This is something that had happened before. Look at verse number 10 again. And as it came to pass on the morrow, the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And the same thing that happened in chapter number 16 happens. David plays with his hands just like he had at other times. He begins to worship the Lord. He begins to sing. The great psalmist of Israel begins to play on the harp and worship God once again. But this time, last time in chapter number 16, man, Saul got his heart right and refocused on the Lord. Here, look, notice what it says. He has a javelin in his hand. He has a spear in his hand. Man, listen, the hand that held up Goliath is playing to worship God, but the hand of the king has a spear. David had the hands of worship. But as we're going to see, Saul begin to have the hands of jealousy, the hands of anger. Look at verse number 11. Look what Saul does. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. I mean, and instead of Saul allowing the music to calm him, instead of Saul allowing the music to lead him into worship, Saul takes a spear and he throws it at David. Man, this jealousy, this emotional reaction to this jealousy, trying to kill David, literally trying to pin David to a wall. We don't know if he missed twice. We don't know if David, you know, is dodging, getting out of the way. But we know he doesn't end up killing David in this moment. 1 Samuel 16:23 says this, "And it came to pass when an evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took a harp. He played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." Listen, Saul had been here before he allowed the worship of David to help him be refreshed, to get back into focus. But here in chapter number 18, he decides to give in to his emotions and his jealousy. Throws this spear, misses David, and David escapes twice. Look at verse number 12. "And Saul was afraid of David." And when I first read that, I'm like, dude, you're the one throwing spears, right? David's just playing a harp. You're throwing spears. He was afraid of David. Why was he afraid? Look at it. Because the Lord was with him and had departed from Saul. You see, Saul knew what it was like to have the Lord with him. Because Saul didn't start out as this prideful, arrogant king. There was a day in Saul's life where the hand of God was on his life. Something along the way would change. Saul knew what it was like to have God's hand and to have God's spirit. And he knew that, listen, that his hand was no longer on him, but it was on David. Man, it seemed, listen, it would seem like Saul was in control. Think about this. Saul still had a kingdom. Saul still had a spear. Saul still had an army, but David had the Lord. And can I just say this? We can have in our lives what the world says is powerful, but if we don't have what God says is powerful, we have nothing. We have a reason to be afraid. Look at verse number 12 again. Read it. Look at it. "And Saul was afraid of David." Why? Because the Lord was with him. He was departed from Saul. Verse number 13, look at this. "Therefore Saul removed him from him, made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people." So what Saul does here is something that was typical for Saul's personality, okay? Paul, so often, there's story after story in 1 Samuel, where after Saul did something stupid, he would try to spiritualize it. Like after he was scared to fight, and then Jonathan wanted to go fight, and they ended up winning. What did Saul do? He brings in the Ark of Covenant to worship God after the fact, trying to get spiritual, trying to get spiritual credit for it. So what he's doing here is he's promoting David to a captain. Man, it almost looks like he's doing something to show him honor. But understand, what was happening here is his jealousy is really causing him to throw some shade and to throw manipulation. He was sending David to battle hoping that he's going to get killed is what he's doing, okay? So he's trying to manipulate the situation. That's what jealousy does so often. He ends up making David a captain, trying to set him up for harm. Look at verse 14. Notice what David does. This is an awesome verse. "David behaved himself wisely." Notice these words. "In all his ways. And the Lord was with him." Now think of where David's at. He's a young man or even an older teenager here. He had just defeated Goliath. Man, people are cheering for him in the streets. I mean, he comes into town and there's women dancing. I think sometimes we forget the picture, man. The town is filled with people dancing and celebrating him. And they're even celebrating him more than they're celebrating the king. Now, can we just get real for a second? If we're young men, man, that would appeal to our pride. Man, these women singing about me. I mean, that's what was happening. These women dancing in front of me. Man, they're singing my praises. They are celebrating me more than they're celebrating Saul. But it says here, David, listen, he remained humble. Man, he remained, listen, he behaves himself wisely. The popularity does not go to his head. The singing and the dancing does not go to his head. And then even notice this, Saul's jealousy doesn't even get him. Man, if I just had two spears thrown at me, I don't know that I'm going to behave in real wisely. Like if somebody throws some spears at me, I'm probably going to be hiding around that next corner, and guess what I'm going to be doing? Huh? I'm going to be getting them back. Don't look at me like you're so spiritual. I mean, he was just literally, someone tried to murder him. But yet he behaved himself wisely. He didn't over emotionally react like we would have. He didn't even go into preservation mode like we would have. Saul's jealousy does not get to him. Look at verse number 15. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself wisely, very wisely, by the way, he was afraid of him. Man, it blew Saul's mind. Saul's jealous because they ain't singing his praises as much as David. Man, I can't believe that David's not getting proud. I can't believe that David's not getting puffed up. I can't believe that I just tried to kill David and he ain't fighting back. Saul knew that God was working and God's hand was on David. He sees David's response. He sees God at work in his life. And this ticked him off more. David was what Saul at one time was. Humble, wise, and God's man. You see, Saul's pride had taken Saul from God's man to self-destructiveness. Look at verse number 16. But all Israel, Judah, loved David. This is amazing to me. Because he went out and he came in before them. Man, picture the scene here, man. This dude, Saul is just jealous. Saul's allowing it to affect him. It's a common thing we've seen in Saul's life up to this point. I want you to think with me. Here's the message tonight. Saul had gone from being a man of God to being a jealous, prideful person. Let me just say this tonight. None of us are above that. None of us tonight are above becoming jealous and prideful. This is something that can happen to any of us. But can I just say to you tonight, the outcome is always the same. If you remember months ago, the key to Saul's rise was humility. The key to his demise was his pride. Let me just say this to us as a church tonight. Jealousy and pride always comes with a great cost. Saul went from a man that was humble, that God exalted, to a man that would lose his kingdom. 1 Samuel 15:17. And Samuel said, remember this? Samuel reminds him of this. When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribe of Israel? And the Lord anointed you king over Israel. I mean, there was a day in Saul's life where he was anointed by God to be the king. Man, I can't help but think of Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold a humble spirit. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Proverbs 16:18, one we should all memorize and remember is this, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:19, better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, and this is one that we ought to remember because this is what happens, then cometh shame. Once again, his pride had led him down the road of self-destruction. His pride had led him to jealousy. That's what's happening here. Saul is jealousy. So what is jealousy? Man, that's a word that we've heard a lot. Jealousy has a couple different meanings. We want to look at, I'm going to give you three meanings of jealousy and then what I believe its meaning when we talk about the idea that's represented here in our text. Jealousy can mean a feeling or showing suspicion of someone's unfaithfulness in a relationship, right? In a marriage relationship or in a dating relationship. Man, that type of jealousy. Another meaning that jealousy can have is fiercely protective or vigilant of one's right of possessions. Man, we get jealous over that. Another one, which I believe maybe the second one and third one is what I want to talk about tonight, is feeling or showing envy of someone or their achievements and their advantages. This type of jealousy that got a hold of Saul, I believe, was twofold. Man, he was jealous and fiercely protective or vigilant of his rights and possessions. Man, Jonathan is giving him his right as an heir to the kingdom. God is anointing David, and God is using his hands on David, and Saul's very jealous of that. Another meaning, feeling or showing envy of someone of their achievements and advantages. God is using David in a great way, and Saul's no doubt jealous about it. It says that Saul kept his jealous eye on David from this point forward. As we will see and continue the next time we meet, he ends up continuing to try to kill David. It's an amazing thought and an amazing story. I want us to take a couple of practical things tonight from this text on jealousy. Jealousy is another one of those sins that really begins with pride in our hearts. I think jealousy is something that we can all be guilty of, and we've all been guilty of. I think especially one of those sins within the church, if we're not careful, between Christians, that can really haunt us and can really hurt us. It's one of those internal things that others may not know about and others may not see. But the first thing I notice from our text is this. Jealousy can occur when we fail to celebrate other people's victories. Jealousy, everybody right up here. Jealousy can occur when we fail to celebrate other people's victories. Show me a person that can't cheer on their brother and sister in the Lord, and I'll tell you a person that's full of pride and that's eventually going to end up falling. Do you know who we should be? We should be cheering each other on. Do you know if you see someone that's been successful and God's blessed and maybe even blessed more than you, do you know as believers, we should cheer them on. We should be for them. If we can't celebrate each other's victories, whose can we celebrate? Man, if you see someone in our church that God blesses, or you see God do a victory in somebody's life, as believers, we are to praise and we are to thank God for His blessing in their life. Yes, we're to weep when they weep, but you know, we're to have joy when they have joy. We should celebrate people's victories. You know, one of the things preachers are so guilty of is not celebrating other churches and other preachers' victories. I've seen it so many times. And that, unfortunately, as Christians, sometimes it's almost like we're not on the same team. Listen, we ought to be cheering on each other. Saul and David were on the same team. Yet Saul couldn't even cheer on David. I mean, you think about this. David had just won a huge battle that no one else was willing to win. If I'm the king, man, thank God I didn't have to go out there and get my tail whipped and die. I had a warrior, a young man that rose up. Man, it's okay if he gets the credit. Man, it's okay. Listen, man, we should cheer each other on. Can I just ask you this practically? Are you able to celebrate other people's victories? When we're jealous, we can't. Man, when God blesses somebody else's family, can you, man, does it burn inside of you where you're jealous? Or are you able to say, praise God? Man, when God blesses someone else financially, do you get jealous or do you say, praise the Lord? Hey, when God blesses someone else spiritually, man, do you say praise the Lord or you get jealous? When God uses someone else's kids, hey, do you praise the Lord for that or do you get jealous because maybe He's not blessing yours in that moment? I want to encourage you with this. Pride will keep us from celebrating other people's victories, and it's one of the most selfish things that we can do, and it always brings destruction. Can I just tell you this? And I want to encourage you with this. Cheer each other on. Cheer each other on. If God's people aren't going to cheer on God's people, who is? You know, I think of this even with our staff. You know, man, I want to cheer on Pastor Stewart, man. I want to cheer him on. I want to cheer on Pastor Colin. I want to cheer on these guys as they preach. And man, I want to, you know, and that's the culture that we should have, is cheering each other on. Man, lifting each other up, being happy for that other person. I remember the first time Pastor Stewart preached after he'd been here a little while, and it was awesome. And I'm standing at the back shaking hands. One lady came out and said, that's one of the best sermons I've ever heard in this church. If we're not careful, we could take things like that personally. Rather than thinking this, man, that's awesome that she said that. Here's this young man at that time in his mid-20s, man, that God has blessed and his hands on. Is everybody tracking me on this? Man, somebody sings a special, and man, it gets on in here. You know what I'm talking about? And there's people at the altar, and God's doing a great work. If you're not careful, maybe you sing too, and you sit back and you say, how come nobody ever comes to the altar when I sing? We have it distorted, because that's not about the person singing. That's about the Holy Spirit of God moving in someone's heart. Same with the preaching. Just like it is in your life, when God gives other people victories. This is all I want to say. Be a cheerleader for your brothers and sisters. Cheer them on, man. Praise God. If God blesses somebody financially, praise God. If God heals someone, praise God. If God blesses someone, praise God. Are you able to cheer on other people and celebrate other people? Listen, we should rejoice at others' victories. Secondly, you know what ends up happening when we don't? We open up ourselves to a bad spirit when we allow jealousy in our hearts. Because Saul didn't deal with this jealousy as David begins to play that harp. What does it say? God lets him, man. God lets him. You know, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Some of us, the reason we sit in church, can I just talk very blunt to you? Some of us, the reason we sit in church and we never feel anything, and God never moves us, and God never works, and we never shed a tear, and we never lift a hand, and maybe you don't shed tears, maybe you don't lift hands, maybe you don't come to the altar, and that's your business. It's good for all of us to do it every once in a while. One of the things that grieves my heart is when I'm in churches and they don't have an invitation, they don't give people an opportunity to do something. Whether, and I'm not saying you have to come to the altar, but even at your seat. I've been in places, the preaching's done, the music's done, they don't even say, hey, make a decision at your seat. They don't say, and I'm not saying you have to come here, but there ought to be a time in our lives where the Holy Spirit moves inside of us. But the reason some of us haven't heard from God and heard from the Holy Spirit a long time is because sometimes we just grieve Him. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Let me read a verse to you. Ephesians 4:30. New Testament, just because some of you Bible nerds that are don't believe in the Holy Spirit still, listen to this. And grieve not, this is a New Testament, the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed in the day of redemption. Listen, that's what keeps us and what seals us. And you know what the next verse says is this. Let all bitterness, verse 1, wrath or anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you from all malice. I wonder if sometimes we don't hear from God the way that we once did because of what's going on in our heart. Because we're jealous. Because we're bitter. God won't bless and He won't use a bitter person. I was bitter, and I've told you, I've shared this story. I was bitter for 20 years of my life. Didn't forgive somebody I needed to forgive. God had to give me the grace to forgive. God never worked in my life like I knew He wanted to until I forgave that person that hurt me immensely. When we open ourselves up to a bad, we open ourselves up to a bad spirit when we allow jealousy or envy in our hearts. I mean, I just want to encourage you to think about that. Man, am I jealous of someone? Am I like Saul, not celebrating their victories? Am I jealous of them? Here's another one. Thirdly, jealousy. This is a tough one. Can cause us to throw spears at those we love. You know what ends up happening when we're bitter, when we're jealous? When we have envy, we end up hurting the people we love the most. Think about Jonathan and David. They had just become brothers in this passage before. If Saul would have been smarter and would have been more selfless, he could have celebrated David. And guess what the people would have done while he celebrated David? They would have celebrated Saul. He was too dumb to realize that. And what does he end up doing? He ends up killing him, or trying to. He throws two spears at him. This is just the first time. He's going to chase him all over the country as they go into caves. He's going to try to sneak up on him and chop his head off. Think about that, man. We end up hurting people we love. Mom, Dad, if you're jealous, you don't end up hurting those people you're jealous of most of the time. You end up hurting your family. They become critical like you are. I've seen it 1,000 times. Mom and Dad are critical. Guess who's going to be critical? Those babies are. Mom and Dad, disrespectful of authority. Guess who's going to be disrespectful of authority? Mom and Dad are. Here's the thing. Don't be jealous. You end up hurting people you love. People that God wants to use in your life. Jealousy can cause us to throw spears at each other. Hopefully not literally. Somebody help me. Somebody walks in here with a spear. We gave away a spear, though, didn't we? Sportsman Supper, that was an awesome thing. I wanted to throw that at somebody. Amen. Notice this one. We really did. We gave away a spear, and it was awesome. We were walking through. Where were we at when we seen that? Academy, me and Stu were getting some stuff for that. We're walking through Academy. I see a spear there, and I'm like, we got to get this. I was hoping I won it. But anyhow, jealousy causes us to throw spears at those we love. And here's one that I thought of as I read this, and this was what happened in Saul's life. Jealousy affects our worship. James 3:14 and 15. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly. It's sensual. And it's devilish. If you're bitter tonight, if you're jealous, if you have envy, it's going to affect the way that you worship. Seen it 100 times, if not more. people that are having problems with someone else, not just at our church, I'm talking about all different types of places. They come in, they avoid someone in the church, they haven't forgiven, and what ends up happening is it affects them. They don't sing, they don't serve, they become selfish. And I'm not minimizing hurt. All of us in here have been deeply hurt at some point in our life. But jealousy and bitterness, listen, it'll affect our worship. Saul at one time in chapter 16, once that evil spirit came upon him and David started playing that harp, it says that he refreshed himself. He started worshiping. The evil spirit ended up departed. Here he embraced it. Sometimes we like to feel jealous. Makes us feel good. At the end of the day, it only brings destruction. It affects our worship. Listen, if you're a jealous person, if you hold in bitterness, man, it's going to affect your worship. And then the last thing I want us to notice, and we're going to talk for just a minute, we're almost done. The root of jealousy at the end of the day is something that has plagued Saul his entire life, and it's pride. It starts with pride. Let me just read a couple verses to you. I want to tell you a couple things practically of how we can help our jealousy. 2 Corinthians 10:12, Paul writing to Corinthians says this, "For we dare not make ourselves of a number," and hold on one second, Matt, "or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." Let me just give you some practical advice. Don't compare yourself to other people. Be thankful for what God's given you. Hebrews 12:15, when it comes to bitterness, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby may be defiled." The root of bitterness many times starts with the seed of jealousy. Don't plant it in the first place. Don't allow it to be planted. If the seed of jealousy begins to grow, the fruit of bitterness will eventually show. We've got to get rid of the jealousy before it gets to that point. Don't water it. Some of us do that. Man, we pour water on that seed. Don't fertilize it. We fertilize it, and it starts coming up out of the ground a little bit. Man, we don't make the changes in our life that we need to make sure that it doesn't. So how do we kill it? Ephesians 4:31, I read it earlier. Listen, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Here's the answer. This is a verse as Baptists we need to learn. "And be ye kind." It's the next verse. "One to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." Well, preacher, that's hard. "Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Can I just tell you this? When that seed starts to sprout a little bit, man, put it away. Pour gasoline on it before it grows. Man, be kind. That's what it says. You know, being a Christian, sometimes just being nice. Just be nice. So how do we be kind of what we're talking about? Celebrate other people's victories. Then the next one says, be tenderhearted. Saul should have allowed the worship to help him. He should have had a tender heart, but it was hard. Is your heart hard tonight? Has it been a long time since you were in the presence of God worshiping? Think about that. Where it was you and God, and you are lost in His presence. Some of us, it's been a long time since He worked in your heart. Have you become cold and indifferent because you're jealous, because you're bitter? Man, be kind, be tender-hearted. Saul should allow the worship to help him. He should have a tender heart. Man, he shouldn't have had a hard heart. Then the last thing it says in that verse is forgiving one another. That's tough, isn't it? It's hard to forgive. But they didn't stop there. He tells us why we should forgive one another. Because Christ, listen, "For Christ's sake, have forgiven you." Well, you don't understand what they've done. No, you don't understand what we've done and how He's loved us. And I'm not saying it's easy tonight. I'm not saying forgiveness is always easy. I'm not saying it always is, because I know it's not. I know dealing with jealousy isn't always easy, but here's the point. If we want it, we can get past it. If we want to know Him more and we allow His grace, listen, you can't forgive. But you know who can forgive through you? You can forgive through His power. You can forgive through His strength tonight. Man, put it away before it grows. Be kind. Celebrate others' victories. Be tenderhearted. Respond. Forgive. Get over yourself and get over it. I'm so thankful tonight for the grace of God, aren't you? I'm thankful tonight that He loves me in spite of me. I'm thankful tonight that out of the thousands of times I failed Him, the moment that I turn back to Him and I confess my sin, He is faithful and He is just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I'm thankful that when that prodigal got to that road, oh man, I love it thinking about it. The father was, listen, he's standing out there. As soon as he saw that prodigal, what did he do, man? He took off. He took off. He put on him a robe. He got the best calf. They had a party. They had a steak. Man, he forgave him. He embraced him. Yes, there was consequences. And yes, there was some pain. But at the end of the day, the father wrapped his loving arms around him and put a ring on his finger and put shoes on his feet and put clothes on his back saying, I love you. You're accepted. Hey, come home, man. You got a place at the table once again. That's the type of love that God has called us to have. And I just want to encourage you tonight. If there's somebody you need to forgive, if there's someone you're jealous of, give it to the Lord tonight during this time of invitation. Head bows, eyes closed. The altar's open. Let's stand to our feet. If you need a place to pray, the altar's open. Sing it now.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence.